Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP-102 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP-102weightloss.com. Got a lot going on the show this morning. Julie Donaldson's going to join us coming up at 9. Tammy Pescatelli, comedian in studio at 9:20. We've got Fridays with Feinstein coming up at 8. But as we do each Friday, we talk movies with our boy Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Kevin?
Kevin, are you there? Oh, I got to punch him out. I thought he was on the...
Kevin McCarthy.
Thought he was on the Skype bit.
He's doing old-fashioned phone.
Old-fashioned phone call.
There
he is,
Kevin.
I was waiting for the ding. Like, the ding usually tells me you guys to pot him. Yeah, but I was saying Papa's and JT's before I came on the air, so those are all wasted, unfortunately.
Yeah, great.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe there are people around you that are just dying to hear you say Papa.
Well, by the way, I know that Eric wakes up on Monday morning and he says to himself, I cannot wait for Friday at 7 o'clock. It's like his favorite day of the week. I know it is. I know it was better than...
I'm just waiting for a movie that I'm interested in to come out.
Well, there's one today that I know Jason was very interested in. I'm interested in. Cake saw the movie, too. We all saw Sicario.
He did, yes.
Sicario. It's funny, though. I don't really remember Emily Blunt being in the movie. I just remember Benicio del Toro. Yeah.
I can understand why you wouldn't remember, JP. She's only one of the main stars in the movie.
I understand it, but to me, it was all about Benicio del Toro.
I think Sicario's a movie I watched with my son, and like in the first 10 minutes was one of the most brutal scenes, right? And then we just turned it off.
Yeah, isn't it like the brutal scenes?
Yeah.
The opening of the first Sicario is hardcore. Like, I remember, like...
Yeah, we just turned it off.
We sat down to watch that movie, and yeah, Emily Blunt, they raid that house. And
yeah.
What's interesting about the first Sicario is the lead actor from Get Out is her partner, and like Daniel Kaluuya, like that was the kind of before he blew up with the movie Get Out. But yeah, that opening scene with the explosion, and don't they find the dead people in the walls
or
something?
There are like five dead people wrapped up like in plastic bags.
Oh,
we punched out. In the wall.
We punched out.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't punch out. I kept watching.
Okay. Right. Wait.
Kevin, I know you don't have that much time, so why don't you fill us in on Day of the Soldado?
Yeah, so Day of the Soldado is the new
First of all,
Sicario
can you translate
film.
That for us? We haven't figured that one out.
I believe Soldado means soldier.
Yes, I was being sarcastic.
It means soldier.
Oh, I didn't know what it meant. You didn't? How would I know what Soldado means unless I looked it up?
I wouldn't know.
How would I know that?
I think Soldado means soldier.
Yes,
it does. Yeah, the movie is it's the sequel to the 2000, the first Sicario film.
What is he doing? Somebody's trying to get his
Kevin's
attention.
He's having like an episode.
Kevin, you gotta stay focused here, buddy.
Wait, I'm at a Fox 5 zip trip, and they told me that the hit was 7:15, and now they're telling me I need to get back over to the chair now. I don't know what's going on here. The first Sicario movie was an amazing film, Benicio del Toro as well as Josh Brolin and Emily Blunt. And Emily Blunt was a big character in that film. She was probably one of the most prominent characters in the film, which I'm surprised you don't remember her because the whole movie was told through her perspective until the end of the film when Del Toro's character kind of shifted the whole tone of the movie. The end of the first Sicario was an absolutely brutal sequence where they dealt with
the character.
It was
awesome. We know it. Why are you reviewing the last one? Tell me about the current movie.
Well, no, I'm setting you up as to where this sequel is going. Taylor Sheridan, who wrote this film, who also wrote Hell or High Water, he's continuing the Sicario film, but this time around, the actual POV is from Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin's perspective. So,
Okay. Remember,
the first one was from Emily Blunt, so now we're shifting kind of that gear. And the whole concept here is the U.S.-Mexico border. The drug cartels are smuggling terrorists through the border itself. And so essentially Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro's character have to set up a war between the cartels. That way the cartels kind of take each other out versus continuing to send terrorists through the U.S.-Mexico border. And it's a very fascinating concept. So what they end up doing is they end up kidnapping one of the drug lord's daughters, Carlos Reyes's daughter. But that backfires completely on them, and it just everything goes completely south. It's very, very brutal. The first Sicario film was very brutal. So is this one. The problem with this one is that it's a major step down in quality from the first movie. So, the first movie had a phenomenal filmmaker, Denis Villeneuve, who also did films like Arrival and Prisoners. I know Jason loved Prisoners. Prisoners was a very hardcore film as well.
That's a good
that
movie.
Director is no longer... That director is not in this particular picture. So, different filmmaker, different cinematographer, so no Roger Deakins, also a different composer, the composer who did the original Sicario film, that famous music, that famous Sicario music, he died.
Hold on, it's famous music.
Dude, the Sicario score, if anybody out there saw the first Sicario, the music in the first Sicario was very, a big part of the movie. It was like this very weird, like deep bass tone. So that composer actually died at 48. He died earlier this year in February. So they brought in a new composer who was actually an understudy of him. But so the film definitely feels a bit of a step down in quality. But if you like the first Sicario and you want to learn more about Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro's characters, this movie kind of dives more into that. And I think a lot of people out there are going to be very happy with that continuation of those particular characters.
So it's your favorite rating, isn't it?
It's my favorite rating, but here's the thing.
3.5.
The first Sicario was a 5 out of 5. No question. So people are, here's the thing. Why make a sequel if it's going to be a movie that's just a bridge to a third movie? See, the problem with sequels nowadays is if you make a movie that's mainly designed to make you want to watch the third movie, why watch that second film? All it becomes is a bridge. Right. It should be its own movie. Like Terminator 2 is its own film. This movie feels like a middle film. It feels a bit incomplete and uneven. That being said, Benicio del Toro, who's one of the best actors working today, is phenomenal in it, and he's fantastic, and so is Josh Brolin. So 3.5 is the rating because it's a step down, but it's still a good quality film from the acting perspective. It's just not a great movie.
Quick question, because I want to hear your take on Uncle Drew, because I know you sat down with some of the people from Uncle Drew. I did happen to see your back and forth with Brolin again. You guys seem to have a bromance, and it was all about Crocs.
Josh Brolin in the first Sicario, he wore sandals, and then in this one, he's wearing Crocs. So it's actually a metaphor for how ugly the character is supposed to be. Like, he's like wearing these weird sandals and Crocs during these very brutal sequences, and it's kind of a... It's a weird thing. People don't normally look at a character and go, oh, I'm going to look at his shoes and figure out who this person is. But the director in the first one made it a point to pan down to his sandals. They do the same thing here. When you first meet him, you see him wearing Crocs. It's actually, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it actually is a very interesting perspective into the mindset of this character. So that was the breakdown this time. But real quick with Uncle Drew, I know you guys are big sports people. I particularly... I'm not a massive basketball fan, but I appreciate basketball films like He Got Game and, White Men Can't Jump. And there's so many great ones out there. This is not on that level, but it's actually a kind of a fun thing to see, like Kyrie Irving as this character. We know him from the Pepsi commercials, I think. Most people probably know him from that, obviously the Celtics, but the Pepsi commercials were viral videos. But this is basically a film where a character tries to put together a squad of older basketball players to play in a street ball tournament. Reggie Miller's in it, Shaq's in it, Chris Webber, Nate Robinson. It's actually fun. I mean, listen, I think the middle section could have been cut down by about 15, 20 minutes. And I think that there are some really good messages in there about kind of persevering and overcoming problems in your life. But that being said, it doesn't feel as great as the classic basketball film that you and I all know. Like, White Men Can't Jump and He Got Game are like massive. They're great movies. This is just like okay film. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. It's funny. It has some great moments. I love Shaq in it. I love Reggie Miller in it. I just didn't walk away going, man, that was, that's a sports classic.
Yeah, it looks goofy. All right, Kevin, get to your chair.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Kev.
Hey, man. Have a good weekend, sir.
Zip trip at Leisure World.
Correct. That's right down the street from where your boy Flakes lives in Olney.
I know we give Kevin a hard time, but he knows what he's doing. He does a good job with these reviews. And can you just imagine the chaos there with the Fox 5 people? They, you know, they want him on the air, and he's staying true to his commitment. I mean, he did break it talking to him, but still, he's staying true to his commitment doing the dumb radio interview, and they're desperate to put him on air.
I can imagine the chaos, especially at Leisure World, trying to navigate that parking lot. You have to have your head on a swivel.
I've never been.
It's a retirement community. A lot of oldsters either driving or trying to navigate the parking lot, walking through the parking lot.
I've never felt you had to have your head on a swivel when I'm there.
You've been there?
I've been there many times, at the plaza.
I'm just meaning that if it takes people like a minute plus to walk across a crosswalk.
Well, that's true.
You can't just zip through the parking lot you do in a lot of places.
How young can you be to live in Leisure World?
I don't know.
Usually it's like 55, I think.
Is there a minimum?
I don't think I'm at that age.
And if you buy a house in Leisure World, I'm assuming they have homes. They have all type of different houses and price points. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a newer community, though. It's been there forever.
Oh, I know. But I've never had a reason to go there.
I have. It's called Crisp and Juicy. It's called Lido Pizza. It's called giant food.
But that's Burger King plaza.
Yeah. It's right in front of the community.
I'm almost envisioning a gated community, and then you go in there and their houses, their apartments, stuff like that.
Yeah.
What I was wondering is, what is the minimum
threshold? I think usually it's 55.
I haven't looked into that yet.
Discounted house? You know what
I
mean?
Yes, you can. I know you're nubs, and you like to live nubs. You could live nubs in a retirement community in about 7 years. You could go in there if you want to. You can get a silly old man house. You can live in a silly rancher.
No stairs.
My wife actually wants a
help your
one
bum
level.
Knees.
It's very hard to find one levels.
Yeah, but the thing
it is.
It's hard to find one level homes
because land is so expensive.
Well, especially if you're in the new homes.
Land is so expensive.
If you want an old house from the '50s, you can find ranchers everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, if you want an old house,
yeah, you
from
want 3,000 square feet.
Just drive down Randolph Road in Rockville. Yeah. I mean, there's a billion of them.
I mean, you've been to my place. Look, they're building vertical places. Like my neighborhood, when builders find land. They're not going to expand out wide. They're going to go up.
They're going to go straight
up.
Even
their homes in my neighborhood that go for 1.4 and 1.6, they're these brownstones. They're just big, tall monstrosities.
Right.
They're huge once you get inside.
The thing is, and maybe this is just my mother's thinking. She's always said this to me. I don't want to live around old people. You know, I mean, if you want to just live around old people.
Well, by the way, she does. Why don't you look at her neighbors?
Yeah, but she's not in a community that's
I get it.
100%.
I get it, but. Yeah. I go visit my mom, and it's a widow's row.
Burrito.
Maybe on that street, but I don't.
You all right?
The point is, she's never wanted to live in a retirement community. Some people love it, though.
Yeah.
Because they have that community of other people.
Hey, is Leisure World the name of a town?
It's just the name of the community.
What town is it in?
It's in Olney.
I don't think it has an Olney
address. Silver Spring.
I think it's Silver Spring.
It's right next to Olney.
It's the edge of Silver Spring and Kensington.
It's a weird confluence of Olney,
nothing to do with Kensington.
Silver Spring, Aspen
Miles.
Hill.
Nobody wants it in there.
Well, I know you think Kensington's all old people. At least your world has nothing to do with Kensington.
If I'm on the Beltway, though, and I pass by Kensington, about the next exit is Silver Springs Leisure World.
Leisure World is about 12 minutes away from Kensington.
Yeah.
Okay, but
it's not that far.
It's as close as Olney in my mind.
It's about 5 minutes away from
Olney's
Leisure
right
World.
There.
But it's not Olney.
Isn't it off Georgia Avenue?
Correct.
Okay. I'm just looking at it from the Beltway perspective.
Yeah, well, if you actually drive
Beltway,
it. As I drive past it every time I go out to Blue Mash, I'm going to know exactly where
now
it is.
I want some Crisp and Juicy with the chimichurri sauce. Now I'm obsessed with that. I might have to get that this weekend. So delicious. The South Americans have got the rotisserie chicken market. Completely
I think
cornered.
We might have a Crisp and Juicy now in Kensington.
Of course you do, Ricky. I think it's right next to the Continental.
Yeah. I know it's a new chicken spot. I haven't been there, though.
Well,
I think we've been there one time, actually. We got a takeout.
You need to go, Ricky.
They have good sauce.
They've got good sauce. They've got good chicken. They got good rice and beans. It's all good.
I wonder how Continental's holding up. Because everyone's going to Chipotle.
Chicken.
Everyone's going to Chipotle. Everyone's going to Crisp and Juicy. Everyone's going to Five Guys.
Still do the bit where they only take cash.
Last time I was there, they had that sign on a piece of paper. Yeah,
I mean, an all cash business. It sounds a little bit,
but
dicey.
It's a staple, though.
The
pizza is
delicious.
I'd never be able to go.
Never. Yeah, how would you pay?
Do I have cash right now? The odds are no.
Probably not.
Mm. Oh, I do.
high roller. $2 in your wallet?
Oh, by the way, here.
Team Dobbs.
I still owe you $5.
But just wait till you give me
random
the whole
bets. No.
Don't pay me piecemeal. Just wait.
Paying you piecemeal cakes.
It's hurting.
Next time I have a $5.
You know what else is hurting? Saying piecemeal. Am I 100? Maybe I should move into Leisure World as soon as possible.
But going back to the whole thing about homes,
yeah,
there just aren't many ranchers. You're not going to find them because land's so expensive.
I guess.
Yeah, they just don't build new ranchers generally.
But in retirement communities, they're almost exclusively one floor because they don't want old people going up and down steps.
Right, or you get one of those like hurting little like lifts on your stairs.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, look, I'm going to need it when I'm older.
Or if you're a baller, you get an elevator in your house. That's if you're a baller old person.
After I had my last surgery, I was talking to the orthopedist, and I said, I'm probably going to need a knee replacement when I'm 70. And he goes, 60.
Oh, he knocked you down a whole decade.
Yeah, he said, your knee's a wreck.
Why wouldn't you just do it sooner rather than later? Because I know some guys that have done it, and they you know, at a young age, remarkably young age, and they're doing fine. Hips, actually. The hip. Hip might be a little bit easier.
That sounds like a really old man thing when you have a hip replacement.
No, but I know a couple guys that have had hips, and they're like, they're so pissed they didn't do it earlier.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a game changer.
I think you avoid surgeries generally when you can avoid them.
You avoid surgeries when you can, but if you're in just constant pain, that's when I think you got to finally make the move.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Fridays with Feinstein's coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll give you a chance to win some Nicki Minaj tickets coming up at 8:40 here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Need to give a quick update on our friend and former producer, Brett Oliverio, who we talked to yesterday, who was making a deep run in a WSOP event out in Vegas, a $3,000 buy-in tournament. When he called in yesterday, I believe he was like 24th or 25th.
There were 31 players left, I believe.
Out of 31 that were left. He resumed play yesterday around 5 p.m. our time, and he doubled up relatively early. In a wacky hand, he had ace-queen. The other guy had ace-queen. I guess they both got it all in. EB can correct me if I'm wrong on some of the details.
He caught a flush.
He caught a
runner flush.
He caught a four flush, which is rare. I mean, when you flip over the same hand, you look at it and you're like, all right, we're going to chop.
Probably going to be a chop.
Yeah, we're going to chop the pot.
The only outcome is or someone's getting bad beated.
Exactly. So Brett delivers a bad beat to a guy. Doubles his chips up to about 370,000 in chips.
I had texted him because we were following the updates, on the WSOP.com. Mm-hmm. I had buddies texting me, and he was actually getting picked up on some of these updates, right? Like Poker News.
Yep.
And it says Oliveiro doubles up, and I read the hand, and I go, "Nice job, stud." And he goes, "Oh, I just hoard the guy."
Right.
He felt bad.
And I saw the update relatively late, so I just responded back to him. I was like, "Hey, we're all sweating you back here on the East Coast. Good luck. Make that deep run." And then by the time I tweeted it, he had already been knocked out of the tournament. He got it all in with tens against a guy who had been a pretty loose player throughout the tournament.
Yeah, it was a tough spot. The guy was a loose player, but getting in the mix with a lot of hands. He raised the button. Which is a standard raise. You always think they're just trying to steal. Small blind called it, and then Brett tries a squeeze play. He looks down, he has tens. He decides to go all in. Unfortunately, the loose player woke up with kings.
Yeah,
you get it all in, and he can't spike a 10. So, but still, he finished 20th, clocked $15,000 on his $3,000 buy-in.
Pretty nice.
Walks away $12,000 richer.
Yep.
So
now the tax man took a cut, and hurts, but you know, when you win that amount of money, they're going to take that chunk from you right at the casino.
Yeah, you can't even, I wouldn't even worry about that. He made 12K.
Oh, he did great.
He made 1,000.
No, it was a great score by Brett. He finished 20th place in a field with, I believe, 1,040 entrants.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really good.
Yeah,
great. That's an impressive display.
You just put down a bunch of money on a new car, your fourth car from the Farish people. He won your, I guarantee how much you put down. He won more than that.
What did he win?
He won thousands.
I didn't.
Did you put down a lot?
I didn't put down. He won 15K. I didn't put down 15K.
That's my point.
I didn't put down 15K on my new
ride.
That's
what I'm saying. He won more than what you put down.
Yeah, right, definitely won more.
You weren't tracking with me.
Yeah, I wasn't tracking. He basically, you know what he did? He won double.
Right.
He won more than double of what I put down.
Right.
It's a great,
He won a significant chunk of money.
A great run by Brett. Yes.
And knowing him, I wouldn't be shocked if he hasn't already entered into another event. And
no, it's a lock. He probably went to 2.5.
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm sure he did that too. He loves playing in those events. I've been to Vegas during the WSOP with him, and the guy goes nuts. He's
playing the six-handed max event
I
now.
I gotta enter. I'm
free rolling now.
I gotta get in.
And I've seen him enter the Colossus. I think he's been in the Colossus twice, which is just a minefield. That's like the largest field typically, because I think it's about a $500 buy-in, and you'll have about 10,000 entrants.
Somehow I didn't wear my Sup Dogs gear, but Drab and EB are both wearing it. What am I doing with my life?
I know. I definitely am wearing this today to give Brett some shine.
Yeah, so good for Brett. Made a nice run in Vegas.
Speaking of surprisingly getting some shine, if you click on the MLB section of ESPN.com today, like if you just wanted to check national news or whatever.
Right.
The lead story on ESPN.com in the Major League Baseball section is about Tim Tebow and the month that he's having in the month of June.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Which he's now hitting .318 in the month of June, which has raised his AA average to .261.
So great.
He has just 5 home runs. Now, in the article itself, it does compare his play to 2 other prospects who've been moved up.
Mm-hmm.
So he was compared to, I guess, another outfielder who's, you know, was hitting .316 with 15 home runs versus Tebow with just his 5. And some of the numbers I don't quite understand. I don't know what BABIP is.
BABIP?
Do you know what
that's batting average balls in play?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I don't know what a good.
So what is this?
I don't know what a good BABIP
well,
is.
Well, you
is
want
my
it
point.
To be good. You know, if it's low, that means you're having a bad
year.
Well,
he's hitting .318 for the month, thanks to a .455 average on balls in play.
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
.455 is his BABIP.
Right.
Now, in the 22-game hot streak, he has just 1 home run. So they're saying they're not really seeing the power numbers that they expected from him.
Right.
And if he was just any other prospect, nobody would be looking at him at all. He's very unremarkable. They say he's below average in the field. He's actually slow, according to scouts, for a guy who was known as a runner in college. He's just not fast. I think he was a runner because he was kind of big in that
Yeah,
system.
He was never thought of as – well, I don't know. I think he ran about a 4.7. So, I mean, you could call that whatever you want. I think if you go back to his 40 time coming out of college, I think it was in a 4.7 range.
So they promoted 2 of his teammates to AAA, you know, a guy who was hitting .314 with 15 home runs, another guy who was hitting .327. So he's still not viewed as one of their top 30 prospects. However, the Mets are so far back, people are starting to entertain that it would be legitimate for them to give him a September call-up. And how amazing would that be?
It'd be amazing. And I don't want him to get any charity. Like, I don't want him to do it just because he's Tim Tebow. And just
well, then
want
he probably wouldn't be called up.
Well, that's not necessarily the case, because a September call-up, they call up a rack of people. But wait it out.
But an unremarkable double-A guy.
That happens.
Oh,
don't do it this year. They'll do it next year. I just love that he's willing to put himself out there and be humiliated, because he knows that people just want to pounce on him.
Well, he's not even really being humiliated now. He's holding his own.
Exactly.
He's definitely holding his own.
Exactly.
I don't know that he deserves to be called up next year, and would he... A 31-year-old man, or however old Tim Tebow is.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes guys in their 30s get called up.
It's not typical.
Happened with the Lakers. They just called the guy up at the last regular season game.
The Mets have nothing to lose by calling him up. Nothing whatsoever.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it just... If I was Tim, I wouldn't want him to do it just
as... You want him to earn it.
Earn it. Right. And I think if he keeps at it, he's got a shot at earning it. Don't do it just as a publicity stunt.
And maybe he's improving exponentially.
He
the guy hadn't played in years, so instead of like a normal progression, he may be progressing much faster than most prospects because some of the coaches have said that. Far removed from the game.
Some of the coaches have said that. His improvement from last year to this year, it's immeasurable. They didn't see it coming. You know, that's because he's now played for a full year. I'm blown away by it. He's way surpassed what Jordan did.
I root for him in the baseball, though. I've always kind of rooted for Tim Tebow because it seemed like people really resented, like resented his success even in football. He won a playoff game.
It's all based in politics.
I will say that once the league determined that he wasn't a quarterback anymore, I thought he should have maybe. I would have been intrigued if he moved to tight end. He just refused to
do
it.
Me too, but he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You can't make a guy do what he doesn't want to do.
Plus, it's a lot to learn at that point when you've done nothing but played quarterback your entire life.
Is it really that much to learn? There are basketball players who never played that end up becoming tight ends.
I don't think he wanted to get his brains beat in. And you can't blame him. I don't think he wanted to do it.
I mean, there are guys that struggle to play tight end at the pro level that have been playing it their entire lives.
True, but JP's point is well taken. There are guys that switch positions.
I mean, my point
is quarterbacks that switch positions.
I want to say this year they drafted a basketball player. I don't know if he'll make the team that was drafted to play tight end who had no football background. He has.
Didn't
the
they
football
draft another
background.
Rugby player? Didn't another rugby guy get drafted by the Eagles?
Yeah. I mean, my point is, if Tebow were to move the tight end, it's not like he's never played football. He knows football. He was a quarterback.
Yeah, but doesn't mean matter. It would have been
that
successful.
That ship has sailed. He's not been playing in the NFL ever again.
But anyway, I kind of lost a little bit for Tebow there because I felt like if his dream was to play football.
I think his dream was to play quarterback.
Yeah.
And who can tell a guy what their dream is? His dream was to play quarterback, so he moved on.
Although I do remember reading about this baseball thing. Some people believed it was calculated because once he did that, it added to his story and it added to his appearance fee, which is where he's making his money on speeches.
I mean, maybe.
Like
appearance fees. I mean, everyone is just so cynical. Why can't the guy just be a guy who wants to live out his dream and try? I take him at his word. I actually think he's a pretty honest guy. I think he just wants to try. He loved baseball when he was younger. Football didn't work out for him, so he's going to give it a try because he has the opportunity. And he has the opportunity because he's famous.
And
he's taking advantage
of it.
And he has
the leverage that he's still doing the college football analysis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he plays a complete season in the minors.
I think there are times he takes off to do the games.
He leaves at the end of August to do the college football.
But for the most part, he's toiling in anonymity. You know, he goes up there and he gets some autographs and stuff, and fans want to see him in a minor league stadium. But on a national scale, he's a complete afterthought now.
He was playing in Binghamton yesterday.
Yeah. He's riding on buses. League baseball.
By the way, Binghamton's where Jordan
sucks.
Played, right?
Yes.
No, he played Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Right?
Oh, it was Birmingham.
Yeah, way different than Binghamton.
Minor league baseball, especially if you're a guy of Tim Tebow's means, sucks. It's awful. You know, just the lifestyle. You know, live in some dumpy hotel with a bunch of, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids. Probably half of them don't even speak English. You know, you don't have that much in common with them.
He doesn't have anything in common with them because he doesn't bang.
Well
that's
I think that's way in the rearview mirror.
You think that's still the case?
I think that's in the rearview mirror.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I haven't heard him talking about that.
Here's why it would change. Men have needs.
Testosterone?
Yeah.
Needs. I get it.
Eventually.
But if he was true to his ways and he was waiting until marriage.
Everybody has a breaking point.
He hasn't married, right?
A lot of people wait until marriage until it just is a breaking point. I believe Tebow hit a breaking point.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
But you don't know.
No, but I just haven't heard him professing all that stuff.
I don't know that he ever really professed it.
I think he made
a question or two.
Yeah, I think he avoids those questions. Let's go. It's like when Bryce used to claim he was not a drinker. You don't hear that anymore.
Well, he was claiming that when he was underage and because of religious purposes. Maybe he's not.
All right. Maybe he's not.
Maybe he's just a clean liver. I know it's hard for us to,
to
wrap our heads around that.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true. Let's go to Ted, California. Ted, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
So, first off, Tebow is absolutely doing 150 bajillion times better than anybody would have expected.
Yes.
You look at a guy that was an analyst for 3 years and said, oh, I'm going to go play baseball. It's like, yeah, right, okay. Anyways, on the BABIP front, so BABIP is basically a correlation of what your batting average is, like you said, on balls in play. It's sort of how lucky you're getting. If you have a high BABIP, that means you're getting very lucky on balls that are basically normally in play in traditional senses. So his 455 BABIP is extremely, extremely high. In the majors, if you see a player with a BABIP of in the 350 range, he's considered extremely lucky. And basically what that means is his batting average.
He's hitting it where they're not.
Right, but his batting average has come up because he's gotten extremely lucky.
Got you.
So right, because he's hitting it where, where they're not.
This is the opposite of like what we were talking about with Ryan Zimmerman a couple years ago, who's, I guess his BABIP was really low. Like he was hitting the ball, but supposedly had bad luck.
Yeah, exactly. But if you look at some of his other batter ball profile hits, he may still have the same exit velocity on his hits and other things. It may have just been he's getting extremely lucky right now. So basically, what he's doing is not sustainable. Is basically what it comes down to. And the predictor is that BABIP means that this is not a sustainable return. Just
Well, look, he needs to make BABIP more contact. 100. He strikes out one out of every three at-bats, which is super
high. Yeah, I mean, but you look at Chris Davis. He strikes out every other at-bat. So, I mean, it could be worse.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ted. Appreciate
it. Interesting to see that he's not just completely falling on his face. He's holding his own.
Yeah, I'm proud of him.
Should mention, crazy summer schedules make it tough to stay connected to home and family. That's why we think Alarm.com is so great. They reinvented home security more than 15 years ago, and they've been the leader in smarter home technology ever since. Every day, millions of people trust Alarm.com's technology to protect your homes and businesses. And they are the official smart home security partner of our champion, Washington Capitals. Alarm.com systems are professionally designed, installed, and monitored by trusted local service providers. Learn how you can have a safer, smarter home or business today. Visit alarm.com/fan.
Remember, you can join the Junks and 106.7 The Fan for our summer dress party. Saturday, July 14th is the date, starting at 4 p.m. It's brought to you by Corona. Corona is what summer wants. Enjoy and relax responsibly. Get all the details online at thefandc.com/summer. I enjoyed a Corona responsibly last night. It was delicious.
That beerless streak is over.
Well, here's the thing. I can do a beerless streak unless I get am gifted free beer, which is what happened.
So how long did the no beers
I don't know,
at
like
night
two days. But I only had one.
Okay.
And I was a little
responsibly.
I was a little apprehensive to even have one because it didn't have a lime. It was delicious without a lime.
Of course.
It's delicious
it is.
With or without.
Of course.
So I'll enjoy another one tonight, and I'll probably go out to the store and just buy a lime.
You know, did you guys see this story? Do you remember last year? This is a Scott Allen story in the Post about Josh Norman ranting and raving after. Remember the Skins shocked everybody and they beat the Raiders in Week 3, and he started talking about afterwards. For you know, you don't come in here and say what you're going to put up on somebody 200 yards, and he was talking about I think Amari Cooper,
right.
Michael Crabtree, like these guys, they came in there and they said they were going to put up 200 yards against whatever, and then they held them to like three catches for like 13 yards.
Turns out the Raiders were nubs last year, but still.
It was like a big thing. It was like a big story at the time. Turns out Scott Allen found out and through, I guess he's reporting, through a podcast that Norman did within the last week or so, that it was all based on a lie. That Jonathan Allen, and this is brilliant, I guess, went up to him and said, you know, Coop was talking about you. He said he was going to get, they said they were going to get 200 yards on you guys.
He planted false information?
Yeah, to motivate him. And then Norman went out there and balled out
and
then started attacking him afterwards. And Cooper even said, where did he get that from? After the game, he goes, I never said I was going to get 200. Where does he get? I don't talk trash before a game. That's not what I do.
Cooper, the way he was playing last year, he'd be lucky to get 30 yards in a game.
Cooper had a poop year last year.
It was all based on Jonathan Allen.
That's hilarious.
Trying to stir the pot and get his boys fired up. How do you feel about that?
I think it's perfectly fine. It's within the bounds. Who cares?
Right. I would hope that he'd be motivated without that and would play well without that. And maybe he did play well without it because it was Amari Cooper last year.
And I know you do always poo-poo those things. I do think sometimes those things do. They're that little extra bit of motivation and focus sometimes that you need.
Hey, look, it definitely worked for Rocky when he put Apollo Creed's
automatic
picture
focus
there and crack his eggs open. No, but. Generally speaking, I would hope that the pros are going to go out and try and perform.
Well, of course, you always think they are, but everybody, look, there's always a little extra. You can always be motivated a little extra. There's no doubt about
it. Hey, our new boss man said,
go for that extra
every day.
That's right.
Be better.
Just be better.
Instead of doing four sales proposals, do five.
Just be a little bit better every day.
No one can say, it's not true, no one can say that they're 100 maxing out every single time. You can always dig a little deeper.
I wanted to actually provide you fodder to Joan on me.
We love joning on each other, especially when it comes to squeaking.
Of course.
And I'm definitely doing
squeaker's
something as a
session?
Squeaker.
Oh.
And I'm going to give you the material right
all
here.
Right. Good.
Now, I actually don't think I'm as much a squeaker as some people in this
department.
Yeah,
the People's Court sound.
Oh, yeah, he's got it.
Do you have that, Valdez?
So, here's the thing. I go to that stupid vending machine. Like, Jason never, I don't think he's ever used Monumental vending.
He has not.
All right.
It's an impressive streak.
And I go to it often.
It's like Cal
I'm not
streak.
Like Adam Epstein, where I go every day and get two or three items.
I was an everyday guy.
But my go-to move recently has been I bring in my cereal,
right,
and I get milk.
Okay.
But I only use like one-fifth of the milk.
I think you might
maybe
be stealing
a quarter
my bit, but
of
go
the
ahead.
Milk.
Yep.
No, I'm not stealing your bit because right. I think that actually is squeaking to another level.
Okay.
So anyway, do you know how much the milk costs? And I, EB,
oh, I know
I
exactly what it costs.
I literally pour out like a shot of milk. Mm. That's about all I have.
The milk for your cereal.
The milk at Monumental Vending.
And then sometimes I'll take a swig of it.
Yeah.
But I don't really just like to drink the milk in
well,
the morning.
Who does? Who just
so I usually
milk.
Throw out 3/4 of a milk bottle. And so my move lately
are you getting
is,
low fat? What are you no, getting?
Yeah, I think
like
it's 2%.
It's like 2% milk.
Whatever it is. I don't there's not like a huge variety.
Yeah, you
of
can
milk
either get
there.
2% milk or chocolate milk.
Right.
Or muscle milk.
Yeah. I get whatever milk they have. Cake says it's 2%, I believe him. It's not about that.
It costs $1.94.
Yes. And so my squeaker move is I just do it like 2 or 3 days a week, and the
right.
other days I eat it dry, which is kind of nubs. I realize it was nubs, and then my fingers get all kind of nasty.
You're eating your cereal dry because I thought you were going to say that you brought in milk. Like
no,
you,
that's Cake's.
No,
you pour a little
no.
cup or something.
See, Cake's is the true squeaker. No. He uses CK's fridge, and like he would just buy the $1.94 milk and keep it there for a week.
That's exactly what I do because who needs an entire container?
Then you
got
to wait till Chris is here to go into his office.
Fine, I can wait until 8:30 for him to show
up. I generally will have my cereal at 7. Today I flip flopped.
Yeah, but if you wait, you could.
Then I
got
to wait until like 8:30.
See, well, that way, if I buy the milk here, which I hate to do because I'm a bit of a squeaker, but I'm not going to bring milk. I'm not such a squeaker that I'm going to bring it in from home.
You guys right? are
okay?
squeakers,
but I will use a third of the milk container and then I'll put it in CK's. Fridge instead of putting it in the fridge with all the savages here.
I actually think
at Entercom.
Oh, that's the worst.
I just can't.
If I did
disgusting.
Cakes' move, I actually think that one milk bottle probably would last me 5 cereals because I bring in my EMP 180 cereal,
right?
And it's not a ton, and I put it in the bowl, and I don't like to have like way too much milk. Like the ratio of milk to cereal,
milk is just gross.
I want it to be about 50-50.
Milk
you know
is
mean?
Just gross. It's a pet peeve of mine, too. My wife will pour a glass of milk, and then she'll drink, like, one sip of it and just leave the glass of milk, like, on the kitchen
just
table.
Leave it out?
Yeah, for, like, hours.
Oh, that's
and
hard.
And it's so tilting. Because I know she's not going to drink it again, and then it's just, if you leave milk out long enough, it's going to start to get arctic. It is one of my biggest pet peeves,
the only time,
leaving milk
the
out.
The only time you should ever drink milk outside of it being poured over your cereal is if you're enjoying a delicious, freshly baked cookie.
Yes.
Cookie and milk, acceptable. Otherwise, like Valdez, he'll drink a glass of milk. Like,
with a steak. I have milk. I have milk with my
sense.
Dinner.
He has it like with a spaghetti dinner.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Well, just
I don't
like
understand.
Chicken, steak, spaghetti.
Okay,
pasta.
But
it's personal preference.
If
you
go
can
to
do
the,
it.
But if you go to the Palm, let's say,
right,
you have an incredible steak. Do you order milk?
No way.
No.
Because
you'll look like an idiot.
Who cares about the look?
Yeah,
if
you know
that's your
go-to. You know that's a rare combo: milk and steak. Right? Like, that's definitely some Dina thing that you're,
look,
Pasadena
look,
thing that
I
you're.
I grew up.
This is Matt Valdez.
Having a glass of milk with my dinner every night. And it's just something that I do
look,
now
sure
with my dinner.
I'm sure it's healthy. It's probably good for you to get that.
Well, milk's not that good for
no,
you.
No, it's not.
It has a ton of sugar in it.
The reason you did that is because all children did that 20 years ago.
They want you to grow.
Because they thought it would make your bones strong.
Right.
Everybody. And then everybody
right.
realized
well,
that.
I just got accustomed to it.
Became, well, okay,
I'm
so,
used to it.
Okay, so then when you're when,
I'm
when
used
you're
to the
out,
pairing.
When you're out,
right.
why don't you do it?
Such a hurting
just
pairing.
Embarrassment?
Well, no. Not that many places have milk ready to
every
go for you.
Every place has milk.
What? You go to Chipotle, they have milk?
I don't think so. Well, they might, like, for kids' meals.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I would
restaurants
know,
are going to have milk.
I've never gone out to like Cal Tort or Chipotle and said, yeah, I'll have a burrito and milk to wash it down. Doesn't make any sense.
Who's the bigger squeaker anyway? Would it be me or Cakes? I think Cakes actually would be the bigger squeaker because he's only buying, I'll say probably 3 days a week I'll buy the milk, and then some days I'm like, why am I going to pay $2 to get a shot of milk? That's about how much milk I get.
Both of you guys blow me away. I spend so much money over there at that Monumental thing. I don't even bat an eye.
Trust me. I spend plenty of money here. I'll go over there. I'll buy, and it kills me to do it, I'll buy a Diet Pepsi, a can, for $1. Which, by the way, if I walked into Harris Teeter or Giant in my neighborhood and they said, oh, why don't you buy this Diet Pepsi for $1, I would kick the can across the aisle.
That's the price of doing business.
Exactly. But I'll buy a dollar soda. I'll buy some beef jerky. I'll buy Fig Newtons. I mean, I will spend some money there.
But look, I used to buy the honey bun.
Sure.
That's not cheap.
No, probably not. It's probably $2 a pop, $2.50.
That was one of your biggest leaks, like diet-wise.
Life leak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he loved
those honey buns.
Honey buns.
JP crushes in some honey buns.
I believe the honey bun they have there is an award winner.
I believe it is. How are your cavities, by the way, if you like sugar so much?
I haven't had a cavity since I was a kid. But I probably have had so many teeth capped off. I had like 4 or 5 when I was a kid.
You have teeth that are capped off? Join the club, Rick.
I had my second cavity recently.
That's
I was not sized to get the filling done. I talked about it before. Not sized. I know for you it's common. It's common.
I've had it all the time. No, but I did not
like it. Not one bit.
I literally had a dentist who, this was like a thing, I think, in the 70s and 80s, who would say, don't worry, it's a small cavity. You don't need any Novocaine. And then they would go in there and start drilling away, and it'd be, oh, it's a little bigger than we thought. A little bigger. I was being abused. I was abused at the dentist.
The dentists, to me, are like mechanics. Like, recently I went to the dentist for my checkup. Generally, I'm healthy. And they said I have a crack and a crown. One that I've had since I was a child, and I'm going to have a new crown. That's going to be expensive because dental,
they cover hardly anything. Dude, that's a drop in the bucket. You know how many crowns I have? That's a drop in the bucket.
Well, it's my first crown. Apparently, I got a crack in it.
Yeah.
Well, or I guess it would be my second.
That's no big deal. I got like 6 of
them. Yeah, that's SOP for EB. Yeah.
That's standard operating procedure.
I'm just burning like a G.
Yeah, who cares? What are you going to die with it?
Better send in that claim to the dental insurance, Ricky.
Yeah, they don't pay the whole thing.
No, of course not.
They pay a little portion.
Big old scam.
Coming up next, Fridays with Feinstein here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.